Well, a very pleasant good evening to you and an early Thanksgiving shout out. We are here to wrap up Steph Kalis and myself, Jeff Butler, Hopewell High School football. We normally would have Coach Ricky Irby with us as he has been each and every week, but he and his wife need to be with their church family as one of their members passed, and people are gathering as we speak at a funeral home. So, Steph, it's been a rainy day, and sort of the theme of a rainy day plays over in the way our season ended. Hopewell High School had their spirits dampened by an upset victory pulled off by Heritage out of Newport News.
Yeah, that's right, Jeff. And it was shocking. And we've had a little bit of time, several days since then, to think about it. And thinking about the season, overall, it was a great season. You know, 8-4
yeah.
for Hopewell, ranked in the top 10 in three, class three most of the year. In fact, got as high as 2 and beat the then number one ranked team. And we'll talk about those. But yeah, it was an incredibly disappointing loss that I'm hopeful will propel Hopewell to more great things in the future.
You know, we talked a little bit about how good this season was with a plethora of talented seniors. And even though we lose a ton of seniors, how significant is it that an unbeaten junior varsity team is kind of waiting in the wings, some of whom got experience this year, but a whole lot more will be filling in those gaps, although it's bittersweet because we do have to say goodbye to a lot of special seniors.
Yeah, it's huge. The JV piece is huge, and the JV piece is emblematic of this program. Coach Irby, much like UVA coach Tony Bennett, said, I don't want to just build good teams. I want to build a program, and he's done that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done that with the help of the community and the city in setting forth the youth league that starts at a very young age. Kids are playing football. They're playing soccer, but they're playing football too. Probably a lot more proportionately than other places, but they're growing up with the blue and gold. They're growing up playing Hopewell defense. They're growing up playing Hopewell offensive schemes, and they carry that to middle school and at Woodson, where they've been terrific. They carry it to JV, where they were undefeated, and I have heard that they've got some real talent coming in to step up, as Coach Irby always likes to say. And it was, there are three freshmen who will be players who will be freshmen next year. At least one of whom is, labeled as the next greatest thing. So, you know, cause to be optimistic. There are a lot of underclassmen, key players we'll talk about later in the show coming back, but you're right. There are some seniors who have just left it out there and will be long remembered for terrific careers and really special season, a very special season this year, and we'll talk about them as well.
Yeah, we'll be mentioning many of these seniors who saw such quality playing time and as many of the reserves as we can. I also want to point out something you referred to, and Coach Irby made a commitment, and he's made this commitment for several years, but he is there at JV games, at Woodson games. He is cheering on and encouraging these younger kids. It's a commitment not just to the varsity, but he has a commitment to football throughout the it's not just football, baseball, and any of the other programs. He works with track. And so Coach Irby is definitely there to spur on our young people into healthy athletic pursuits.
Well, you can't say enough about him. He's a very, very special person. And he's, you know, he's a wonderful father to his own children, athletes as well. And he does it all. He knows his kids so well, and he's made a huge impact in lives, not just in sports, but lives in general. He even comes in and when I'm not available to do color for basketball, he does that. And he's so good that I always feel like I'm going to lose my job because I listen to you guys. And, you know, he's terrific at that as well. So he's a very, very special person.
You know, Stefan, he also comes in occasionally to help me with a baseball game. And that's his actual first love.
You're right, Jeff, because Ricky was known as a baseball player. He was the baseball player, and he sort of backed into football, and it seemed like such an odd hire at the time. It's like, I can't believe you're hiring. You know, we've given up. We're hiring a baseball coach to take the legendary Marshall Parker's place. What are we doing? And all of a sudden, you realize he was just continuing and was an amazing student of Marshall Parker's and continued to build that incredible program. And just as Lee Bujakowski said last week when we interviewed the 2003 state championship anniversary team, he has taken it to another level, adding a couple more state championships and putting players that we get to watch on Saturdays on national TV and on Sundays in the NFL. And it's just quite a thing to have been and to be a Hopewell Blue Devil football player.
As you and I have been blessed to be in the broadcast booth and watching two state championships, first in 2017, led by Ronnie Walker, and then 2 years later, his half-brother, Travion Henderson, led Hopewell to another state championship in 2019. And as you have mentioned, what a star he is now with Ohio State. We almost saw the third of those Henderson brothers this year, another very talented youngster, Keyshawn Henderson. And it just wasn't meant to be, but a terrific season, as you pointed out earlier, 8-4, nothing to hang your head about. And we're going to go through and just bring up some of the highlights of this season. And I thought maybe we could go ahead and you know, when I look, Steph, at the first three games, it's incredible that Hopewell scored over 40 points in each of them. One, a brand new school in Mecklenburg in its second year of playing, finished 2-8 this year, but it was a 44-0 game. And then we're also going to talk about two other games following that, Lake Taylor and then also Churchland out of Portsmouth. But Coach Irby got his team off to a really good start, you know, with those three games.
Yeah, they did. He did, Jeff. And Mecklenburg is a Class 4 school. It's bigger than Hopewell. It's a Dinwiddie-level school. So we were a little nervous, apprehensive going in, but Hopewell pasted them 44-0. The next game you mentioned, Lake Taylor was ranked number one in the state in Class 3 at the time, and we looked at that as an enormous test. They came to Lerner Field, and it was a terrific ball game, back and forth. Hopewell pulled away, again, scoring, as you said, over 40 points, and one going away, 42-25.
Yeah, those were very impressive ball games. And, you know, when you look at some of the talent that was introduced, one was junior quarterback Makari Tatum, was out last year with an injury, but he, in that first game, went 9-for-11, 136 yards, 3 touchdowns. And then we saw that third Henderson brother, Keyshawn, 10 yards per carry, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns. And another senior, Patrick Scott, 6 carries, 54 yards, 9 yards per carry. And then followed up another great senior who we have to say goodbye to, and that is John Johnson, was the leading receiver in game number 2, the game with Lake Taylor, when he caught 3 passes for 45 yards and a touchdown. And he turned out, Steph, to be the leading receiver of 3 outstanding receivers that Tatum could throw to all year long. John Johnson had 22 catches on the year, and then Raphael Dabney, another senior, had 21, and their sophomore, Cornelius Cook, with 20. And just we do have to say goodbye to 2 of them, but we will be seeing Cornelius Cook around, fortunately, for the program in Hopewell.
Yeah, absolutely. Cook was a terrific playmaker, and so glad to have him back. He brings a great spirit. Dabney is something. He is just so athletic and so talented, and I don't ever recall him dropping a catchable ball. And likewise, Johnson was just so consistent and so there for Makari Tatum, who did have a breakout season and was just terrific all year long. Was sick the last game, we found out late, and it was not his best game, but he gave it his all. He and I don't want to jump ahead to the last game, but he really matured as a quarterback and has a tremendous passion, and he's one of Coach Irby's favorites. Players as far as doing the claw, the accountability, and the other things, the leadership. I'm not doing it in order, but he embodies all of that, and he's back. He's one of those underclassmen who is back, and that's huge for Hopewell. And
yeah,
and we'll talk
you know
about others.
Yeah. I mean, the list of senior standouts is huge, and Hopewell, which had to start last year on the road against a real tough team in Verina, who went on to have a 10-2 league, did have the benefit of a slightly easier schedule. But when you look beyond Mecklenburg, you mentioned how strong Lake Taylor was. In Churchland, even though we beat them 42-0, they went on to have an 8-4 season. So, Hopewell definitely had some great success with 40 plus games in those first three ball games, and the type of talent that we saw on the other side, Lake Taylor ended up leading Hopewell after one quarter, 19-14, and Hopewell came back strong to, as you mentioned, to take him 42-25. But it was a lot that Coach Irby could learn from those first three games.
Yeah, and Churchland was huge, too. That was a game we were quite nervous about. I believe that was another Class 4 team. And we went on the road, first road game, and Hopewell did extremely well and impressed the Churchland fans quite a bit. We had some good conversations up in the booth, and they were very impressed with Hopewell. But after that, it was on to Dinwiddie, where I believe we felt like Hopewell would have a good opportunity to knock off the defending 4A state champs, led by their incredibly talented quarterback, Harry Dalton, who was the reigning and defending Times Dispatch Player of the Year. I won't be surprised if he repeats that this year, but he was huge against Hopewell. Dinwiddie got off to a super fast start at Dinwiddie, and we were in a 14-0 hole. And then to Hopewell's credit, they battled back and actually outscored Dinwiddie at one point, 22-21, and then scored the last couple of touchdowns to make the score sound much less close than I believe that game was. The final score in that one for Hopewell's first loss after three wins was 50-22.
Yeah. You know, that one hurt for sure. It was compounded, I think, Steph, by the fact that the star running back, Keyshawn Henderson, suffered an injury. And after two games prior to that, where he ran for over 100 yards in both the Lake Taylor and the Churchland game, you know, that injury not only bothered him for the Dinwiddie game, but he was hobbled all the rest of the season with that ankle injury.
He was, and this is probably a good time to talk about Keyshawn. You mentioned him earlier as being the third brother, two of whom won state championships, and I think you and I just personally were rooting so hard for him to get that. And Keyshawn is such a likable young man. He's put in so much effort, and he looks so much like Travion at times, but he's literally been hobbled this year and a lot of last year, even in the last game, and I don't mean to keep jumping ahead, but you know, he was hobbled there as well. But when it was interesting to me when he was fresh in games, when he'd had all of his treatments and was good to go, many games he would dominate early and just get a whole lot of yardage and be able to turn the corner and turn on the speed. And, you know, we kept thinking, okay, if he can stay healthy or at least get to the playoffs and be healthy, we can make a long run just on his back. And unfortunately, it just, for whatever reason, wasn't meant to be. And he will be forever remembered as, you know, one of the best all-time great Hopewell running backs. He might not have the statistics, but when you measure skill, work ethic, leadership, ability, passion, speed, power, tenacity, he never wanted to go down. He's got to be remembered among the best of Hopewell and the best among his family too, which says a lot. So
that says a lot.
We'll have fond memories of him, and just
you know, and it's not just on the offensive side of the ball. He was a great outside linebacker too, and he was dominant as a rusher, oftentimes being the number two tackler behind Patrick Scott, who became the all-time leading tackler for Hopewell. We'll talk more about that later on. But Keyshawn was a terrific two-way player, and will be missed, you know, in that regard. You know, so you talked about – yeah, go ahead.
Well, I don't mean to belabor it, but I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've always said that as great a running back as he is, his future might be on defense. I mean, he is a terrific linebacker. And I think a lot of colleges, you know, he'd already gotten a number of offers from Power Five schools coming into really last season. So it'll be very curious to see where he ends up. But I will not be surprised to see him used, brought in as a defensive, as a linebacker or other defensive back, and not as a running back. And in fact, his brother Travion was so good that Alabama wanted him to be a defensive back. And
yes.
Clemson wanted him to be a defensive back, and he said, "Nope, I'm going to be a running back." So,
and we're glad that he did.
A lot of talent there. So, stay tuned. Good point.
Indeed. Well, as Dinwiddie caused the first loss for Hopewell, and their record went to 3-1. Makari Tatum had his best passing day of the season in that Dinwiddie loss: 15 out of 30, 205 yards. He did have two interceptions. Kind of that plagued him throughout the season. But he rushed for two TDs. We talked often through the season how dynamic of a runner he was. I mean, just last week, the only touchdown that we got was that 85-yard scamper at the very early part of that first quarter. But beyond the passing that Tatum showed in the loss at Dinwiddie, came back against Colonial Heights and did it again. With 17 out of 28, 240 yards, completing 60% of his passes. And he rushed for 38 yards on 8 carries and 2 touchdowns as Hopewell got back on the winning track with a 28-0 win at home against Colonial Heights.
Yeah, and that was another nervous game, because Colonial Heights was good all year. They were a top 20 Class 3 team. They made the playoffs and had it's a different Colonial Heights team. I mean, we beat them, I won't say soundly. The score was probably sounded worse than it was for Colonial Heights, but that was a tough ball game. And the thing about it I like about Hopewell being 8-4, they never lost 2 in a row. They bounced back every time. Mm-hmm. The first time was the tough, tough loss to Dinwiddie, and bounced back beautifully against Colonial Heights.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, as we're giving a shout-out to seniors, one senior that was not a starter but did make an imprint in the Colonial Heights game, Jaden Brown, 5 carries for 15 yards. And so we want to mention as many as possible. And one, I don't want any more time to go by before I mention something that happened at the near the end of the season. We're fast-forwarding again. But on Twitter, Coach Irby gives a shout-out to one of the seniors that didn't play very much but was a high-character guy named Robert Korn. And he – in essence, ask him to come forward, think gives him a game ball, and then there is this rush of support to mob him in the best sense of the word, to say, what a, you know, this shows the team concept. It's more than just wins and losses, but it's about the character of a guy coming out there and playing day in and day out, practicing so that other people can play. And Robert Korn, Coach Irby mentioned in the very last of the coaches show, was one of those special high character guys that helped make Hopewell football what it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what it
need. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And what it is, I don't want to say what it was past tense, because that's what it is. Even though he's graduating, that's the kind of, you know, character guy that Coach Irby is so excited about developing.
You need those guys. You know, he talked about how he comes to practice every day and gives it his all, and might be doing scout team type duty, but that's so important when you're you know, getting ready to face outside competition. So absolutely. And I do remember that tweet and the video, and I believe he named him captain for the following ball game.
That is right. You're exactly right.
And he was, Korn was extremely excited about that. So anyway, after the Colonial Heights game, Hopewell went on to Petersburg against a fairly rejuvenated Petersburg team. And it was played on a Saturday, I believe, because of weather. And I remember you and I discussing, well, this is a good thing because Hopewell's going to be playing on Saturdays in the playoffs. Now, that never happened. Mm-hmm. Fast forwarding again, we played on Fridays for the playoffs. Never got to that Saturday game. But it was a great experience. Hope Petersburg replaced their grass or dust turf, I should say, with a beautiful astro turf, artificial turf. Things were great. Hopewell jumped out to a huge lead and maybe took their foot off the gas, played a lot of players, but ended up winning with another very high score on offense, 54-26.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that caught my attention there were two things, actually. Tatum throwing five touchdown passes, 17 out of 29 for 271 yards. He was picked off twice, and that was kind of a bugaboo for him, but five touchdown passes. And then, you know, you remember how Henderson had been plagued with an ankle injury. He was basically gone for that game, and Hunt was out. And that put the onus on Patrick Scott. He just stepped up big time, 22 carries for 169 yards and three touchdowns. So talk about another two-way player, Patrick Scott, who turns out to be the all-time leading tackler for Hopewell, averaging over 11 tackles a game, and then had a couple of 100-yard rushing games when some of his teammates were injured, as Henderson and Hunt were.
Well, we could have a whole show about Patrick Scott. I mean, his heart, his desire, his speed, his strength, his running ability, and again, a great example of those two-way guys that Hopewell's just forced to have because we don't have the numbers, being a class three school. But Patrick Scott at linebacker, just, I mean, my goodness, it's hard to imagine you could have that many opportunities to make tackles, much less actually make the tackles. And like you said, at running back, he stepped up several times this year and just had monster games and had some incredibly impressive hard runs. So he is a senior who indeed will be greatly missed. And I definitely want to, you touched on the reason Patrick was playing so much at that point in the backfield on offense was because of Henderson and Hunt being down. But I want to make sure before we go, we certainly give Cam Hunt, an underclassman, his due, because I've got a lot of good things to say about that young man.
Yeah, just a junior too. And so hit a couple of, 100-yard rushes himself. And it was great that he came back from his injury later in the season. And, you know, Steph, I don't want to forget another senior who had a good game in Petersburg, Antonio Cherry, six catches, 90 yards, one touchdown. And I believe we've mentioned Rafael Dabney. He was so versatile as a defender, as a punt and kickoff returner, but he was also the second leading pass receiver. And in that game, he caught three for 70 yards and two touchdowns. As I was reflecting on the season, I don't want it just to be offensive reflections, because while we've mentioned Scott leading the team in tackles, there's some premier tacklers as well. Donovan Cooper had eight tackles in that Petersburg game, and there were others like him that would step up big time for Coach Irby on the defensive end.
Jeff, I thought you said you weren't going to talk about offense, and you just talked about Donovan Cooper. And I'm joking because he scored two touchdowns this year on defense. I mean, you talk about a ball hawk. He had a pick six and then a scoop and score, and I feel like he might have had another. But, man, talk about just a motor and just the ball hawking. Just a tremendous, tremendous defensive player.
Every lineman's dream is to intercept, recover a fumble, and take him in for a score. And he did one of each, scooping up a fumble in the course of the season and picking off, two passes from a quarterback leaping high. And so, yeah, that a defensive guy with a little bit of offense, which I'm sure spiced up his season. Well, the Blue Devils would then take a 5-1 record into homecoming with another formidable opponent, Matoika. And ironically, they're the only one of the big three still in the playoffs. You know, Dale and Dinwiddie both going down. But talk about how significant that Matoika team was as they took care of business against us 35-7.
Yeah, that game was the only one this year I felt like Hopewell wasn't in for whatever reason. And once again, they got off to a slow start, down 14-0 quickly, and just again battled back but could never turn the corner. And Matoika, for some reason, has given Hopewell fits. Even in 2019, Hopewell struggled with Travion Henderson and a host of talent to overcome Matoika that season in, as part of a perfect season. So Matoika, to me, that night and watching Matoika from afar, I felt like, I'm not surprised Matoka's still alive among those big three, Dinwiddie, Dale, and Matoika. They just impressed me so much. They were just really unstoppable for Hopewell, and just really, really took it to Hopewell. The final score there, as you might have said, I can't remember, was 35-7.
Yeah, yeah. And with Henderson still injured, Hunt had a very good game, 22 carries, 130 yards, one TD. Back-to-back games with 20 to 22 carries and exactly 130 yards. And also want to give a shout-out to another senior standout who suffered a knee injury in game number one but came back in that Matoika game to have a sack, talking about Wisdom Leitner. Also had about six tackles to support Patrick Scott. Wisdom Leitner finished out the season in fine fashion. Coach Irby often spoke of him as maybe his most talented defensive lineman, and the injury bug hurt him for a little bit, but he had a good game in the defeat with Matoika. And also I want to mention another senior, Pierre McKnight. He had a sack in that game, and he really came on strong in the second half of that senior as one of Coach Irby's linebackers.
Yeah, he did. He absolutely did. And I also want to touch on Leitner. His comeback, his coming back from injury was huge to Hopewell. He just brought a presence, both a physical presence. He's one of the biggest players, tall, strong, fast, great feet. Just fun to watch, but also his enthusiasm was off the charts, and he really did make a difference not being in and coming back and being in. And then before that, you mentioned Cam Hunt again, and Cam Hunt, we didn't know it at the time, but was injured early in the season and just didn't have that spark that he'd had the year before and just couldn't break away. But as you mentioned, as he got over his injury and became the go-to guy when Keyshawn Henderson was out, Cam had back-to-back games of 21 or 22 carries for 130 yards. But Jeff, remember, late in the season, he did it again. He had the same weird 20 or 21 carries for, again, 130 yards. And Cam Hunt, so glad he's coming back to be paired back in the backfield with Makari Tatum. I mean, you talk about formidable and having Cornelius Cook out there on the wing is enormous. I mean, that's a lot of skilled players right there coming back. But he talking about Cam Hunt, was so much fun to watch because he was a very patient runner. He'd pick his hole and then really turn on the jets. And also a great linebacker. But the thing that Coach Irby pointed out in one of his shows that we began noticing is he falls forward and he looks like there's no gain, but he has this amazing ability to literally fall forward and always pick up at least 2 yards and turn a 8-yard run into a first down, a 6-yard run into an 8-yard run. And he also can hit the home run. Just a terrific player. So glad he's back.
Exactly. So even though Hopewell's record fell to 5-2 with that loss at home against Motorco. They went on the road the next week to Meadowbrook and came away with a 39-8 win. Tatum really didn't need to throw that much because, Hunt had another one of those 20 carries for 130 yards and two touchdowns. And then Patrick Scott met him at the over 100-yard platform. He carried the ball nine times for 102 yards and two touchdowns. So they made up for the absence of Henderson's injury. And for the most part, Tatum kept the ball on the ground. Johnson and Dabney each had three catches. Dabney for 60 yards and a touchdown, and Johnson for 32 yards. So it was good for seeing the Blue Devils get back on that winning track, especially before they would have to hit the road the next week to travel to Dale.
Yeah, and Meadowbrook was a good test. Meadowbrook is much improved. They're not at the level they were when they won the state championship in 2004, the year after we did. It was a great test. And again, another bounce back after a loss, which took us to Dale. And I think we were very excited and optimistic about it. And it was one of the best ball games. I believe it was the most complete ball game Hopewell played. Dale's a Class 6 team. They were ranked number two in the state at the time. They were undefeated. And Hopewell, they have Division I talent galore. They've got Chris Tyree's brother, Nick, at running back. Their so-called backup quarterback's terrific. They've got an enormous two-way lineman who wreaks havoc in the backfield. And Hopewell just flat came to play. Hopewell got out early on Dale and led like 24 to one touchdown in the third quarter. But I feel like it was the time where a school being literally twice as big, a Class 6 or Class 3, just wore down Hopewell's two-way players. Yeah. And ultimately Dale came back and won 28-24, but not until Hopewell went on a long drive and got inside the Thomas Dale 5-yard line and was just unable, kind of ran out of time and ran out of plays and wasn't able to pull off the upset. But what an effort.
It was one of those games that almost everything had to go right, and it almost did as they were knocking on the door at the 5-yard line. It was good to see Henderson back for much of that game. He caught a 46-yard pass out of the backfield for a touchdown. Just missed one early in the first quarter, the same type of play. But I tell you, you mentioned Dale's depth as a Class 6, and that was really, really tough, as I think our kids did get worn down. And it also, unfortunately, did highlight a weakness that Hopewell showed all year, and that was pass defense. And Dale kind of riddled the secondary for 216 passing yards. But it's something that I think is a worthy goal for Coach Irby and his staff to try to, find that answer for next year, because we have seen some weaknesses in the last 2 years through the air. Other teams that are really good can find kind of a porous secondary, and that would be a terrific thing to see Hopewell monitor here in the off season and get to a place where they can shore it up.
Yeah, definitely their biggest weakness. Hopewell was very good against the run. Hopewell was very good on the corners. Hopewell was terrific at linebacker. But the secondary, once teams figured it out and learned how to exploit it, it was definitely the root of really all four losses, I think.
Yeah. Well, it was great for Hopewell to be able to come home after being on the road for 2 weeks in a row and to play traditional rival Prince George on senior night. You referenced the salute that the school gave the 2003 class as they came back to celebrate their 20th anniversary of that state championship. And then we had a chance to interview David Harrington and Lee Bujikowski. They were just so much a significant part of what Coach Parker and Coach Irby, in his fourth season being on Coach Parker's staff, were able to establish. But it was not to disregard a very significant win that Hopewell pulled off on senior night.
Yeah, the final was 48-27, and Hopewell had a big lead at halftime, and then had the ceremony and came out, you know, and played a lot of players, as we saw so often. Good problem to have. But then Prince George really got their running game going. We asked Coach Irby about it, but they scored every time they had the ball in the second half and got four touchdowns, and mostly on the ground. We asked Coach Irby about it. He said, yeah, you know, Prince George is a class five team, and they've got talent and speed, and we played a great first half, and they played a great second half, and, you know, that's what happened. He wasn't down on it. He was just stating the fact of that's a really good football team, and that was a big win for Hopewell to take us to 7-3 heading into the playoffs. Well, after this year's 48-27, Hopewell went to 7-3 and got the number one seed in the Region Class 3 playoffs, which gave Hopewell, which is what Hopewell was looking for, so a very successful regular season, because the top goal was to be the number one seed in Class 3A. And we got that. And we were assured of home games throughout the regional playoffs. And the first one happened to be a home game against Booker T. Washington, a team Hopewell had never played in football. Hopewell had played Booker T. in basketball, lost to them a couple of decades ago in a state championship game that was a doozy of a ball game in basketball. But this was the first football meeting, and Hopewell was primed, and Booker T. put up a pretty decent fight. Hopewell was clearly the superior team, and the Blue Devils ultimately secured a 34-17 win in the first round of the playoffs at Myrna Field.
Yeah, a very significant first round win. Another highlight for one of the seniors that we want to point out is that Tyquan Parker had an interception in that game. But yeah, very significant. You know, another senior that I want to focus, Cam Minter, was one of the receivers that Tatum would find. And in the game against Booker T. Washington, he had two catches, finished the season with, I believe, 11 catches overall. But that was a very significant win on what we thought was going to be the first of maybe up to five, and many of those at home. But, you know, we ran into something that I don't think we were quite ready for, both as us as fans and players and coaches saw a team in Heritage out of Newport News that really gelled as the season progressed. And boy, did they show it as they took care of business against us 23-6.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, what a shocker. I just didn't expect it at all. And the way the game started out, as you alluded to earlier, with Makari Tatum scoring a touchdown from 83 yards out early in the ball game, putting Hopewell up 6-0. It looked like Hopewell was going to dominate the game. Hopewell was stopping the Heritage Hurricanes on the ground. But then that bugaboo surfaced, well, two of them actually. First of all, though, Hopewell was leading 6-3, and I want to talk a little bit about the six and a returning player as well, and that would be Hopewell's kicker Jeremiah Mackin, who was all Metro last year, honorable mention, and I expect he'll certainly at least be that this year. He had a great year, Jeff. He's got D1 talent. He's got range. His extra points just boom. They look like NFL extra points, and he hit the great majority of his extra points. But we always, throughout the year, had some long snapping issues, both on punts and extra points and field goals. And that bugaboo surfaced, so we missed an extra point there. He ended up missing a field goal late in the game that would have cut it to a single score, not from his fault, but because of a bad snap due to injury. So that was a bugaboo. And then another bugaboo that haunted Hopewell was some mistakes that plagued them throughout the season and some bad management late in the first half when Hopewell had a 6-3 lead and was moving the ball. And I remember we talked a couple minutes to go. We've got an opportunity to go up 13 or 14-3 at the half, and Hopewell fumbles. And Heritage gets the ball back. marches in for a touchdown and had all the momentum at halftime and a 10-6 lead. So that resulted in Hopewell getting down even further, being forced to pass, and interceptions, two of them, and fumbles, two more, spelled the difference in the ball game in a 23-6 loss that frankly was closer than the score indicates. The last score was kind of it's an 88-yard run, but Hopewell was desperately trying to get the ball back down 16-6 and still in it. And they were tackling the football, and the guy broke away and went into the end zone on a long, long run. And that was it, 23-6.
Yes, a shocker to say the least of all the way around. And a very good season had to come to an end a lot sooner than we would have wished. 8-4, but certainly nothing to, hang our heads over for. You know, Coach Irby, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall as he talked to his team after that game, because from our interactions with Coach Irby, such a standout guy, and a man who talks about character more than about wins and losses, although that's obviously something that was high on their list, and the disappointment is real, but it's more at the end of the day than just a football game. It's about teamwork. We talked about how everybody needs the starters need the reserves in practice, and it's just that whole camaraderie thing and the community building that happens on a football field or any of the sporting events is such a foundational thing to help these young men become, young men, I should say, teenagers to become young men. So it is a sad thing, but a great point looking forward to see all the things that this team learned in the course of this 2023 season.
Yeah, and Jeff, because it is a program, and Lee Bujakowski and David Harrington touched on it when they won the state championship in 2003, the year before they knocked on the door and lost in a heartbreaking playoff game to North Stafford, where they came all the way back and Lee threw for 430 yards and Hopewell almost had a miracle comeback and might have propelled to go to a state championship that year. Mm-hmm. But when they did go the next year, all the players who graduated were there with them, and they felt like they were part of the team. And so this year we have a similar circumstance where, Hopewell is just stunned by this heritage team, and the seniors this year can follow the program and they can come back and they can hope that their legacy will continue. And the guys who are coming back, Tatum and the running back, Cam Hunt and several of the other underclassmen and the new players, can help lead the way and use this as motivation to say, hey, we don't like this taste. We don't like getting knocked out. And we're going to try to make up for it this year. And if they do, great. If they don't, like you say, it's a program, and just the journey in trying to get there is really what it's all about. And the wins and losses the losses aren't great. The wins are great. Championships are great. But it's really the journey and the teamwork that is what really matters. And if you get the gravy, so be it. But that's what makes it fun. And we'll be back, God willing, next year to usher in another, I hope, great and expect great season of Hopewell football.
Yeah, and another thing that we often see at the close of a football season, it's not like college where there is that one sport specialty, but so often high school coaches will do their best in encouraging their players to go play on another team. So like basketball, we'll get a few of the football players after the season's over. Indoor track, then the spring with baseball. And so we just may see some of these football players moving on over to Coach Edmonds' basketball team and other maybe wrestling or whatever. But that leads us to say that in terms of WHAP radio, we will be ready to cover Coach Elvin Edmonds' first game starting next Monday, November 27th. The team that finished number one in the nation last year, John Marshall out of Richmond, comes to Hopewell. My goodness, what a way to start. I thought last season to start playing Verina in football on the road was hard, but this will be the second year, Steph, that Hopewell starts off their season by playing John Marshall This year, at least, they'll get them at home, while last year they started their season playing them on the road.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I was looking forward to last year. We knew John Marshall would be good last year going into that first game. We did not know they would end up being the number one team in the nation, but I remember just shaking my head a couple of times and really enjoying. I mean, they beat Hopewell. They ended up beating them by 19 points. That ended up being the closest game John Marshall played all year to a Virginia State public school team, Jeff. Hopewell played them tougher than anybody. I know 19 sounds like a lot. The final score was something like 83-64. So there was a lot of scoring, but I think Hopewell surprised John Marshall in that Hopewell just ran with them. They didn't try to slow it down or were small, whatever. We're just going to play you straight up. And late in the ballgame, Hopewell cut it to a doable, you know, cut it to a 3 or 4 possession game, if you recall. And then John Marshall was just too much. But, I mean, Hopewell was in that ballgame for 3/4 of it and just made a great showing and propelled Hopewell. I've always said to be the best, you got to, number one, play the best. But you got to beat the best. And Hopewell certainly played the best that night. Played well, and it ended up taking Hopewell to the state final, where they led in the state championship game late in the ball game, only to lose a heartbreaker after coming all the way back. And Hopewell has a lot of players returning, a lot of talent, a lot of height, a lot of skill, and I believe Hopewell is going to be ranked pretty highly in preseason, which, you know, and this is right around the corner too. I can't believe we're putting football away and we're actually talking next week, right?
I know.
Oh my goodness.
It's incredible. Yeah. Next Monday, tip-off, I believe, is scheduled for 7:15 from Hopewell High School Gymnasium. We'll probably be on the air at 6:30 if you'd like to join us. Well, of course, even better than that would be to try to get a seat in this gymnasium, because John Marshall will bring a lot of people interested in seeing them play, and also to see the returning Letterman that Coach Edmonds will bring. And so we hope that you will join us either in person at Hopewell High School or on WHAP, AM 1340, 96.9 FM. And you can also tune in on an app, like Simple Radio app, by just typing in Fox Sports Radio Hopewell. And you can share that with family and friends who are beyond the listening audience, and they can hear it across the nation on that app. So a lot of excitement in Hopewell High School athletics, and we look forward to turning the page, although still with a lot of significant thoughts about a very, very good 8-4 football team. I'm glad that we were able to kind of sum it up. It would have been great, Steph, to actually have Coach Irby with us, but I think we did the next best thing in light of his needing to be away tonight.
Yeah, certainly understood, Jeff. And, you know, he's a great role model, and this only further shows that, where the priorities are at this point. So, anyway, just glad to have had him all year, and look forward to next year and look forward to next week.
Absolutely. We're glad you tuned in. We are always glad to be able to promote Hopewell High School athletics, the things that promote character, and for these young men to be good examples for what we would like to see in the community, you know, 5, 10, 15 years from now. And so we thank you for being a part of that, and hope, again, that you'll tune in. Game number one next Monday night, as John Marshall High School comes to Hopewell, will be on the air at 6:30. For Stephan Kalis, this is Jeff Butler wishing you all a very pleasant good evening.